Hi, welcome to Colonial Williamsburg, past and present on history.org. This is Behind the Scenes, where you meet the people who work here. That's my job. I'm Lloyd Dobbins, and mostly I ask questions. This time I'm asking Bruce Luongo, and at Colonial Williamsburg, he's the tavern program manager, which leads to the obvious question, what is the tavern program manager?
Well, basically, I manage the programs in the tavern, and right now, 90% of that means that I manage the tavern ghost walk.
Oh, okay. New one on me. When is that done?
That's done in the evenings, of course. Best time for a ghost walk, all year round. Typically, it varies with the level of business throughout the year, but typically we do anywhere from 2 to 4 tours a night. Starting around 7-ish, and last one usually is about 9 o'clock.
What's the idea?
Well, as in a lot of towns, Williamsburg has a number of ghost tours, and we thought, well, this is something that we can do, too. Now, the historic area has an 18th century version of folklore called legends, but in the taverns, we thought we would go with the more modern, the contemporary tales. And what we found when we started looking at this about 2 years ago was that there are a lot of unpublished tales that come from our guests and from our employees, and the employees are the people who spend the most time in these buildings. And if you start nosing around a little bit, you'll find that there's a lot of strange things that have happened to employees, and some of them are willing to talk about it.
One of the women I interviewed for a podcast, historical interpreter, said she was leading a group of people and saw a woman's face in the window, and there was no one in the building.
Don't tell me it was a Peyton Randolph house, was it?
No.
Actually, we have had a number of events like that happen on our own tour, as a matter of fact. We have guests. I said Peyton Randolph because that's usually where it happens. We always have guests that say they see a child's face looking out the window and that sort of thing. We've had several tours where not only guests but the guide, the people I work with, have heard knocking from the inside of the front door at a time when there's nobody in there. And since that is alarmed, the entire first floor of that building has motion detectors. When they come back and tell me that, I can call security and say, was anybody in that building at, say, 10 minutes of 9 tonight? Invariably, the answer is no.
Has that cat caught on? Because it sounds kind of interesting.
The tour itself, it has caught on from humble beginnings just about 2 years ago. October 1st, 2004 was our first one. And we have probably taken out about 12,000, 13,000 guests just this year. Nope, let me correct myself. I'm misremembering. It's closer to 19,000.
19,000.
I recall, yes.
Okay. Now, going from a tavern. Which tavern?
Well, we meet in front of Shields.
Okay.
And we walk from there. We also talk about King's Arms and Tunings and several buildings in between. It's not strictly taverns that we visit.
Okay. So Tunings gets you down near the courthouse, right?
That's correct.
That's a fairly long walk.
It's about the east end of the historic area, yes.
How many buildings are involved?
We visit 6 different buildings, and we don't go inside. It's a street tour, a walking tour, but we talk about Shields, the Capitol, King's Arms, the Prentice Store, then we go to Peyton Randolph and end up at Tunings Tavern.
Mm-hmm. And you've got a pretty reliable person at Peyton Randolph House looking at. What are some of the other things that employees have told you about?
Some of the stories that we share? There's all sorts of stuff. If we wanted to, this tour is about an hour long. If we wanted to, we could probably spend 4 hours on it. We've heard so much stuff. There are certain apparitions. At Shields, there's a woman in a green dress who has been seen by several different employees. We call her, of course, the Lady in Green. And there's lots of stuff at the Peyton Randolph House. That's arguably the most haunted house in Williamsburg by common consent. A lot of stuff at Tunings Tavern, furniture's moving around, that sort of thing. One of our waitresses many years ago said she had a very difficult time getting out of the restroom once. Door kept pulling right out of her hand. The odd thing about that is there's no handle on the other side. It pushes open. So when she was trying to pull it open, something was grabbing where there's nothing to grab and yanking it back out of her hand. Stories like that that are very intriguing.
Yeah, I would. I'm afraid I would sort of wonder if she had been nipping the wine.
she was on duty, so I really hope not.
I can't help things like that. Okay, this sounds sort of insulting, but I don't mean it that way. Do people believe these stories?
The people that we talk to, or yeah. The people who bring them to? Well,
no, the people
both.
That
we get.
You talk to.
I mean, we get a lot of folks on the tour, obviously, who are believers. You know, that love ghost stories, and who doesn't love a good ghost story, whether you believe it or not? I'll answer your question this way: I remain a skeptic myself, even though people I know and trust that I have worked with have told me these stories, and they swear to me, swear to God, this is what happened. So I can't not believe them, but on the other hand, do I believe in the supernatural? I'm not sure. Yeah. And
I've never been positive about that myself. Yeah. You know, some of the stories are just, you keep saying not really, but could be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel it's my job when somebody tells me a story to try at least to debunk, the obvious. What could it have been? When you tell me that you saw something here, well, could you be mistaken? Could it have been an employee who ducked behind a bush? You know, whatever it might be. But occasionally it's very hard to do. I'm always asked on the tour when I give them myself, have you had an experience like this? Have you seen a ghost? And I haven't, which is why I remain skeptical. But I've been there when other people have. And this is a story that we don't use much on, but on the tour, but I'll tell you anyway, because it illustrates one of the fun things we can do if we get something new. We can say things like, this past February, on the 24th of February, it was a Friday evening. Most ghost stories you can't give a date and a time to like that. In the winter, we kind of moved them inside into shields because it was supposed to be cold. Oh, well. And we would set up a room in there, the entrance room called the hall. Now, for the hall, there's another room called lower room that you can only get to by going through hall. Okay, so we had one at 7 and one at 9. We would just have people come into hall and sit down, and we'd tell them all the ghost stories in there, have a little fire going, that kind of thing. So I had my coat on, and I was out in the front steps with the reservation sheet, greeting people and bringing them in. A 7 o'clock show and a 9 o'clock. Right before 7, about 10 minutes to 7, a couple came up. They gave me their name. I didn't see them on the list, and I noticed they were on the 9 o'clock list. We were full, so I said, well, I'd like to slip you in, but if everybody shows up, I just don't have any more seats. They said, oh, no. We wondered if we could have dinner in the tavern and then come to the 9 o'clock presentation. That's a great idea, except Shields is closed tonight. So we got them squared away on a place to go for dinner. They came back 2 hours later. They came in. They heard the 9 o'clock presentation. Now, I mentioned lower room before. You can only get there by going through the hall. And when they first walked up, I had two storytellers and a couple of people who had already shown up. So they were sitting in hall. Nobody could have gone through there. After their presentation, at the end of it, we kind of opened up the door to lower room because we have some stories there about people see things in a mirror and that sort of thing. And the door has a wonderful, wonderful creak to it. If there were a Hollywood sound man here, I'd say, go get that creaking door. It's beautiful. And it's a lot of fun, kind of open it up, tell the stories about there, then invite people to walk through it and see if they feel creepy and that kind of thing. So these people did that. And then they come back out and they were talking to the storytellers for a little while. And then they called me over because these people were claiming that the storytellers had been sitting in lower room when they walked up the first time just before 7 o'clock. And they said, no, we weren't. Well, somebody was in there. There was a man and a woman sitting at the table right by that window with a candle lit, and it looked like they were eating dinner. That was why they had asked me if they could have dinner in the tavern. They thought we were open. Okay, so I'm standing out front. I'm looking the other way while they're seeing apparitions in there because I set that room up. I know that door was closed before 5:30, and it was not open till after 8, and there was not a candle lit in there the entire day. But we had to argue with these people to convince them that we had not been in there that night. I seem to be looking the wrong way most of the time when these things happen.
You take these tours around in the night, at night.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Williamsburg is not that well lit.
Oh, that makes it wonderful.
Yeah, but how do you see to get around?
Well, we carry a lantern. There are street lights.
I know, but there are not a whole lot of them.
We carry lanterns so that they won't lose us. And as a matter of fact, we kind of use the darkness because when we go to the Prentice store, that's one of the narrower streets there. And we kind of go to the side of the building so that we get in that nice dark shadow there. It makes for a very great, great atmosphere for a couple of ghost stories. But it's not that hard to walk around at night in Waynesburg. There's enough light to see.
Well, it's not like you're going to bump into things because it's all neatly laid out along a couple of streets.
That's true. You just have to look down because we do use horses here.
That's Colonial Williamsburg, past and present this time. Check history.org often. We'll post more for you to download and hear.